God bless you as you give today. And launching into my message is simply this morning called, He is Risen. Come see, go tell. Everybody say, come see. Come see, go tell. Go tell. He is risen. That's the story. The cross of Jesus and His death, of course, is a key pivotal point in history. And we had a great Good Friday service and enjoyed the fellowship on Friday. But the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today changes Christianity from being just a religion, really, to being a relationship with the very person of Jesus Christ, who is our living Savior. And today we celebrate that once again, Jesus is alive. And as I said once again, happy Resurrection Sunday. Why? Because it's the moment that we continue to recognize, not just today, but every day we live, that Jesus is alive. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians 15. You might think at first an odd passage, but I want you to hear it because the church was struggling with what they believe. And in verse 12 to 20, we read this in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, "But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died." Heavenly Father, I praise you today that we believe in the resurrection. And Lord, what we do is to bring glory to you. And Lord, we are not to be pitied because what we believe is absolutely true. You have risen. Thank you for this resurrection day that we celebrate. And today, would you stir once again what we know and what we want to declare, that you have risen from the dead and you live forever. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Everybody said, amen. I want to read the story of the resurrection to you this morning from Mark chapter 16. Verse 1 says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome." How many come across names in the Bible and you're like, how in the world do you say that? Well, this one I grew up saying Salome, and at one point I heard Salome, and when I got to the message, I'm like, okay, I'm just curious, which one is it? And I was wrong on both accounts. It's considered Salome, and so that was her name. But you can call her whatever you want to call her. I think God will forgive us for that. But these ladies brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. In this passage that we read, we have the announcement, of course, he is risen, he is not here. From the angel that God sent that morning, he announces that we don't know who he is, but what a great assignment that angel got that morning, you know? And as we look at what the angel said to the ladies that walked into that tomb, we have to learn also that we can respond to the same message that they heard that first resurrection morning. I don't know about you, but I have a great admiration for ladies in the Bible who followed Jesus, especially in the culture and the time, and they followed his ministry. In fact, today I'm grateful for the ladies of the church who have stayed the course and following Jesus through all the ups and downs, because in my personal history, I've observed far too many churches that are only in existence today because of the faithfulness of the women who kept the church going. And so to our ladies, I want to say thank you for being faithful to Jesus and to his church. But let me also say this morning. Men, especially of NCA, I am proud that this church has a strong balance between the men and the women who are serving the Lord. And I believe that God is honored by that. I'm glad we're not just a church of just ladies or just men, but God saves us all. Amen? So to all of you, I just say keep your faithfulness and keep serving Jesus where he has placed you. Amen? Once again, just back to the ladies that were following Jesus. If you read through the story, you will find they were there at the cross. They were, in fact, the last ones in the garden when Joseph and Nicodemus were placing Jesus' body in the tomb. In fact, they were the very first ones that headed back to the tomb. And they were doing so because they were carrying additional spices that they were going to anoint the body of Jesus with. But on their way, they got a little bit concerned about how are we going to roll the huge stone away from the opening of the tomb. But when they arrived, to their surprise, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. And then I make this statement, these brave women, now you're going to hear why, went inside the tomb. I mean, how many of you are going to show up, stone's away, I'm out of here. You know, I'm like, but they're brave. They go inside the tomb, and when they entered, they saw a young man dressed in white. Interestingly enough, this is a description the Bible uses often about angels. And of course, the women, we find out, were confused, a little bit terrified. Matthew 28:5 says, then the angel spoke to the women, don't be afraid. He said, I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. I don't know about you, but in those few moments in that tomb, the angel gave the women two sets of instructions that we're going to look at today. And I believe they're the same instructions that we can follow today. The first was found in verse 6 that we read. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. But come see. Come see where his body was lying. The first instruction, come see. The first thing the angel did was to invite the ladies to examine the tomb with their own eyes. Now, the tomb may have been empty, but it was full of significance. In John's account, in chapter 20, we are told that the linens that were used to wrap Jesus' body were just lying there, and the cloth that covered his face and head had been folded up and was lying apart from the other wrappings. These women had to be wondering, is all of this real? I mean, we watched Jesus tortured, and we watched him crucified. We watched as his body was removed from the cross, and we were there when they placed him in the tomb of Joseph. We knew he died, but now they're confronted with an empty tomb. Now, I know that Luke in Acts 1 tells us after his suffering, talking of Jesus, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. But the women who were standing in that tomb that morning have yet to see Jesus alive. They're having to deal with, what are we going to believe? I don't know about you, but just the angel in white inside the tomb would have been convincing enough for me. You know, I'm like, but how many want to see Jesus for themselves one day? And how many know we're going to get to see Jesus one day? Amen. For us, though, today, when we examine the evidence of the resurrection, we have to start right where the women did. We have to start with an empty tomb. Interesting enough, there was no body. In fact, even the enemies of Jesus had to admit the tomb was empty. Jesus was nowhere to be found. And when you have to deal with that kind of information, you have to come up with some type of solutions if you don't believe what the Bible says, or you don't believe what the angel said, or with your own eyes, you don't believe what you saw. You're confronted really with only three possibilities of why there is an empty grave. Throughout history, people have tried to erase the empty tomb, but one thing they can't do is erase the empty tomb. So they have to come up with theories to say, this is what we think happened. One of the first things that people come up with, a possibility of why there's an empty grave, is that Jesus really didn't die. In fact, he was in this unconscious state of being. And then while he was in there for the 3 days, he got revived at some point in the tomb. I don't know about you, but if you believe that, that's called the swoon hypothesis. Now, I find it interesting because after being beaten and being nailed to a cross, crown of thorns, being carried, and he's going to walk out of that tomb in 3 days, it isn't going to happen. In fact, if you believe that swoon hypothesis, then you do not believe what the Bible teaches. The Bible says Jesus died and he rose again. There's others, of course, they continue to struggle with the resurrection. So there's a second theory that people want to believe, and they believe his body was stolen. And so it was either stolen by his enemies, which wouldn't make sense because that would only give credibility to Jesus rising from the dead, or it was stolen by the disciples to try to convince everyone. The scripture helps us discredit even that theory. Matthew 28, 1 to 4 says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was this great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. Verse 4, the guards, how many remember the Roman guard that was placed there by because the Jews thought, they're going to steal his body. So they placed a Roman guard to protect the tomb so no one would steal the body. But the guards were there when all this happened. And they shook with fear. And when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Because why? They saw Jesus alive. Listen to verse 11, though. As the women were on their way, because in the middle there, between there, the women have shown up and now they're seeing and hearing that he's alive. So they're watching all of this. And as the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. And a meeting with the elders was called. And they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. Like that probably is really going to happen. But the guards, it says, accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews and they still tell it today. But know that the Roman soldiers, experienced the resurrection of Jesus. And they had to be bribed to lie about what they had seen. So his body was not stolen. And if the disciples really had stolen the body of Jesus, they would have never all been martyred for a lie. Jesus' body was not stolen. So we come to the third thought. Just maybe you believe what the Bible says is true, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Matthew 28, 6 again says, he isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. Come see. Decide for yourself. Church, this is not about believing just an event that happened in history, but believing that what God said would happen did happen. And after the angel said, come see, in verse 7, he goes on, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you. In this next statement, the angel emphasizes basically this thought, go tell. Not only come see he's not here, but go tell. The angel tells him, go tell the disciples Jesus is alive. He's going to meet with you in Galilee. But I want you to notice and catch what happens in verse 8, the very next verse. It says, the women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were what? Frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. I really can't blame the ladies for feeling the way they felt. I mean, they're probably a little bit still in shock of what was going on. But yet they're filled with this great joy. So they head off to find the disciples to tell them, to go tell what they experienced, that Jesus is alive. Church, we have been given that same command by Jesus himself. Go tell. Go tell the world about Jesus, the gospel, the good news that Jesus is alive. But I wonder how often we're guilty of the same behavior of the women. We're a little bit frightened. We've got great joy, yet we're a little frightened because we're afraid to share the good news. Because if we do, we feel that people are probably going to react just like the disciples did. You say, well, how did the disciples react when they heard the story? Well, look at it in Luke 24. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Many times we know of the great joy that's happened within our lives because we believed in Jesus. We believe he rose from the dead, but we cower sometimes at the message because we feel like people are going to respond just like the disciples. They're not going to believe it. They're going to reject it. They're not going to hear it. But our concern, unhear me today, our concern is not how people will respond. Our concern is that people hear the story and the reality that Jesus is alive. Somehow they need to hear the truth and they need to hear it from us. The angel said, go tell, because the fact is Jesus is alive. And today people still need to hear that story. That's why on this day we echo it again and again. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. He's the Savior of the world. The best tool you have in your own arsenal is your personal faith story. You can tell what the risen Savior has done in your life so that people can hear your God story. There was many who saw Jesus alive after the resurrection. Mark, of course, mentions two others who saw him. And then in Luke, there's a story about Jesus appearing to the two disciples that are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they didn't even recognize who Jesus was. Personally, I would have loved to have been on that trip to Emmaus with those two disciples. And there's a reason. Because the Bible says Jesus started to tell them the story all the way from Moses, all the way through the Old Testament, telling them how the scriptures predicted that the Son of God, the Messiah, would suffer and he would die. And then, of course, they finally get to Emmaus, and they go in the house. They say, Jesus, come on in. They didn't know it was Jesus, but they're inviting him in as a guest. But that moment, Jesus didn't become a guest. He became a host. Because the Bible says when he broke bread, their eyes were opened, and they recognized it was Jesus. And then we have this incredible thought from the Bible that he just disappeared. Wow. Let me tell you, the resurrected body is different than ours. Yet he can eat, but he can transport. So all this Star Trek stuff that you hear about, they're dreaming about it. But I'm telling you what, Jesus is the master of everything. So anyway, these disciples get so excited, they run back or go back to all the way to Jerusalem, and they're telling the disciples of their experience, everything he's told them. And can you imagine them running into the room and saying, Peter, we saw the Lord, he's alive. And then Mary going, see, I told you. You kind of put yourself in that. What was going on? Because it's being confirmed and confirmed. Of course, Jesus, being aware of all of this, he actually appears, it says, in that very room where they were gathered. In Luke 24, as they talked, Jesus himself stood among them. And he said, may you have peace. But they were afraid, full of fear. They thought they saw a spirit. Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Why do you have doubts in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. See, it is I, myself. Touch me and see for yourself. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have. I'm sure at some point the disciples kind of backtracked and said, oh yeah, sorry Lord, we really did believe. I want you to know this morning, the best proof of the resurrection is really not an empty tomb, but it's a life filled with Jesus. A Jesus-filled life. There's a hymn called He Lives. I remember as a kid, this is one that we would sing and lift it. Anybody ever do a sunrise service? And my wife, we were talking about it. She's like, I'm glad you don't do a sunrise service. And this morning, it would have been snowing on us. How many saw the snow this morning? It was snowing. But we would stand and we would sing the lyrics of this song. But the refrain is this. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Worship team, would you come? Paul the Apostle, who writes most of the New Testament, there was a time that he did not know Jesus. In fact, he was persecuting the church. All of those who were saying, Jesus is alive, he persecuted them. In fact, to the point of Stephen, who was preaching the gospel, the good news, and telling them of Jesus. And it's Saul, at that point, standing there, Paul, and he gives approval to the death of Stephen. He says, kill him. And as Stephen is being stoned, he looks up and God gives him a vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. Paul is hearing all of this, seeing all this, experiencing it, and yet he's involved in the murder of those who claim that Jesus is alive. He heard the claims. I don't believe it. Until one day, on the road to Damascus, he suddenly believed in the resurrection because he had a personal encounter with Jesus. Later, Paul writes about some of the post-resurrection period or resurrection appearances of Jesus in 1 Corinthians. In fact, this is the passage just before my opening passage this morning. But he writes and says this. From the message, it reads this way. The first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as scriptures tell it. And he was buried, and that he was raised from death on the third day. Again, exactly as scripture says. That he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers all at the same time. Most of them still around, although a few have since died, as Paul writes it in that day. That he spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him. And that he finally presented himself alive to me. Church, just like Paul, Jesus has made himself alive to you. And we have the great commission of Jesus in Mark 16:50. He said to them, "You are to go into all the world and preach the good news to every person." It's simply what the angel said. Come see, go tell. Come see, go tell. This morning, I want to start with the come see. Could you come and see that God really loves you? He doesn't love you because of what you've done. He loves you because he loves you. In fact, the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, on the cross, he hangs there and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Because God loves you. Come see. Come find out for yourself. Walk in with Jesus for a moment, and you'll find out he's real. Come see that God offers eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you. He died for the sins of the world so that nothing you've ever done would ever separate you from him, but that he would forgive you and welcome you into eternity with him. Come see that you can be forgiven and made clean and holy before the Lord, not because of your righteousness, but because of his righteousness. Come see that Jesus really is alive and he can live in you. You say, "Well, I don't know if I can believe that." The Bible says it's by faith, not by works. There's so many religions, so many who gather, and and we all have this instinct within us that we really want to kind of prove ourselves. Men, we have that thing within us that sometimes our work, we just want to do well because we want people to see us in the light of our goodness and our worthiness to even our companies or whatever. Ladies, the insecurity that sometimes you feel within your heart, we always want somebody to recognize. And we all have this thing that we want to prove. We want to, but it's not works. The work was done on the cross by Jesus for all sin, for all time, once and for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, I invite you, come see. Come just, why don't you experience him? When we worship, it's an experience of his presence, because he says, when you praise him, he inhabits praise. That's why many come in and they're like, "Wow, that was wonderful," because God shows up when you worship him. If you'll go home this week and you'll just start singing, "Jesus is alive, Jesus," he'll show up. because he inhabits any time we lift his name. But not just that, his Holy Spirit is dealing with every soul. He is calling you today, saying, listen, respond to the message. It's true. Yet in our minds, we battle. What have I got to do? How do I believe it? By faith. I go back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And I start right there. By faith, there's a God. And then the story of how sin came into the world, and then the story of how man loves God and hates God and can't understand God. And so God shows up and says, let me reveal who I am. And they thought a God of judgment was going to show up, but a God of mercy showed up and said, if you'll only believe by faith. This morning, I don't know where you're at, and I want to think, oh, it's Easter. Everybody's a believer in this place. Everybody knows him. Everybody's made him Lord of their life, and that's why you're here. But that's not necessarily true. Maybe you're here today because you wanted to hear the story, or maybe you didn't even know the story. I want you to know Jesus is alive. He died for you, but he rose again, and he is coming again. The Bible talks about not just the first advent, but a second. And we are living in the church age of his believers, his followers, his disciples who are to go and tell. So we still invite, come see, and then we say, go tell. But this morning, would you bow your heads? Balcony, main floor. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you kind of maybe believe about him, but you've never asked him to forgive you and to be Lord and master of your days, we're going to give you that opportunity. In fact, with head bows, I do this because I don't want you to be embarrassed, but there's a place where we're going to walk out and say, God, I do believe in you. But in the balcony or main floor, if that's you this day, or maybe you've fallen away from Christ, maybe you walked with him, but you've allowed things to slip in, and it's time to come home. It's the prodigal son story. He welcomes you with arms wide open. Come and see how much he loves you. And he's willing to give you a second, third, fourth, fifth chance in your life because he loves you. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down? Yes, sir. Is there others? I'm looking around. Yes, ma'am. Is there others? Yes, sir. Are there others this day? I'm just looking. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you, this is the most important thing we could ever do, is put our faith in him, to trust him, to believe the story to be absolutely true, and invite him to be Lord. I want everybody in this place, with the hands that were raised across this place today, I want everybody to pray a prayer of faith with me, believing in your heart these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe you sent your Son to die for me. And I believe he rose again. And I ask you today, forgive me of my sins. Make me clean. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible says all heaven rejoices. Hallelujah. I know some of you go, wow, this is really emotional. It is. The Bible says heaven is having a party right now. The Lamb's book of life has been opened, and names are being written in the book so that when he comes, you get to go to heaven forever with Jesus. Forever. But before I leave this point, I praise God for those who raised your hand, but for those who may have not made that decision and you're still wondering, I need to let you know there's another counterpart to this story. For those who don't believe, there's a place called hell. It was meant for Satan and the angels that followed him. It was never meant for mankind. But the Bible says, for those who do not believe in him, they will be cast into the lake of fire forever. This morning, I just encourage you, really take note of the story. Don't miss it. You go, why are you so emphatic? Just like Paul, he's changed my life, and I know he can change yours. Ask him. But not only do I want you to come see, church, but now it's time to go tell. I've experienced, I know he's alive. Go tell the message of his love. Go tell the story, the greatest story of all times. Go tell people, Jesus has risen from the dead. In fact, go tell everyone you meet today, Jesus is alive. Amen.